Spring up. Thank you, Papa. Thank you for being with us. And Lord, we just pray that you will speak to hearts this morning. Lord, as we share and we go through this word together.
You in record?
I am. I really felt to do a series on portraits of Father. So we're going to start it next Sunday. Sorry, is Father's Day, so it will definitely carry through next Sunday, and maybe a couple of Sundays after. I really feel like this is something that Papa wants us to just really look at. So let's start with a scripture in John 14, verse 8 says, Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us. And I think there's that real cry in each of us that we want to know God as Father. And, you know, people talk about a God-shaped hole in us. I think it's more than that. I think it's this desire to have a relationship with God where He is that Father, that one that protects, that cares, that's there for us. And regardless of what our experiences have been, and I'm very aware that for some people, you know, they've had an absent father or they've even had an abusive father. But right through to those who've had a really good, loving father, I think there is this awareness that there's no human that can meet the need that we have for that father-child relationship. And if you think for a moment of, you know, what are the qualities of a good dad? Just even think of a couple of words. Maybe you may even want to, yeah, just put something into the chat box of what to you would be some of the qualities of a good father. Maybe somebody who listens, somebody who does things with you, who's there, who's supportive, encouraging, kind. All these qualities, though we see a glimpse of them in humanity, they're only going to be fully seen in a relationship with Papa God. And Jesus came to show us the Father. You don't see Him revealed in the Old Testament. It took a Son to reveal the Father. And the world is crying out for a Father. There's so many people out there who are fatherless. And God's using sons and daughters again to reveal a Father. So let's move on to the scripture in Matthew. Matthew 7, starting at verse 9, says, Or what man is there among you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? I find it fascinating in this verse that Jesus does not say, look at your experience. He says, look at your heart. What would you do for somebody that you loved? What would you give to a son or a daughter? How much would you want to be there for them? How much would you want to give them amazing things? We've just finished praying for the children of a couple of mothers that have been on here this morning. We've heard Patricia's testimony. Yeah, she had us praying for her daughter Rachel. Where Rachel was at and what she was going through was a weight upon her mum because her mum cares for her. The same in praying for Joy's family. All of us, we have that love for our children, and though our experience with our own fathers may not have been something that was pleasant or what we wanted or what we longed for, if we look in our own heart, we know that, hey, we would give anything that we could possibly give to our own kids or to those that we love. So Jesus says, yeah, after going through that, look at your own heart. Then he follows it up by saying, how much more? We're imperfect. We're not able to follow through. And sometimes we have, yeah, even heartache in our family, as was shared briefly this morning, that, you know, our kids don't understand, or there's some wounding that's happened there, and disappointment and failure. That's all part of the human journey, unfortunately. But Jesus said, how much more will your Heavenly Father meet your need, be there for you, provide for you, love you, care for you? But sadly, sometimes we don't recognize how much God wants to be a father to us. And so we keep that distance. We push him away. We just think, you know, well, he's a God in heaven. He's God Almighty. But as we'll look up shortly, you know, God wants us to be able to call him Abba, Father. That relational closeness, where we know him as one who's there and one who meets needs and loves us totally unconditionally. He's such a good God. Before I go on to that next scripture, I think sometimes, you know, because there's such an emphasis on God so loving the world that he gave his only son, I think maybe for a few people that concept has almost gone a little bit to an extreme that makes them feel like God's uncaring. You know, if he could sacrifice his own son, why would he care about me? I think we fail to recognize what it cost the Father to see his son suffer and die. And for all eternity, we will celebrate and we will be so thankful for what Jesus did on the cross. And if you've ever been in a situation where you've watched your kids in pain, that's hell to go through. And it talks about the fact that your father turned away from Jesus on the cross. I think part of that was almost the agony of, how can I watch my son go through this? If you've been in that situation, I remember, when our kids were little, having to take one of them into the doctor, to the emergency room. And, seeing her strapped down and stuff as they needed to deal with an emergency situation, and just the heartache. I was beside myself. That's the heart of a parent. And the heart of God is like that. He is love. And it was not a light thing for him to see Jesus go to the cross. And this next scripture, I believe, reveals that Jesus had to choose it. Father didn't make him. He didn't say, well, you're going to die whether you want to or not. When you look at Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, he was crying out to the Father and saying, can we do this some other way? But he kept on saying, not my will, but your will, because this has to be done. And so this is the verse that I wanted to pick up in Matthew 26 from verse 52. But Jesus said to him, that's Peter, put your sword in its place, for all who take the sword will perish by the sword. Or do you think I cannot now pray to my Father, and he will provide me with more than 12 legions of angels. How then could the scriptures be fulfilled that it must happen thus? Jesus knew that he could ask Father and say, I can't do this. But he knew that the cost of that would be that we would not be saved. Jesus laid down his life. The Father is not some cruel dictator who took his life. It was something that they went through together so that you and I can be saved. We have an amazing Father God, and Jesus wants us to know him. I love the scripture in Jeremiah 31, verse 3. It says, the Lord has appeared of old to me, saying, yes, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I have drawn you. You know, a lot of people, I think God, you know, uses catastrophe and heartache and, you know, turn or burn or, you know, whatever, that he's out there with a big stick trying to beat people up so that they come to their senses and get saved. That's not the heart of God. It says the goodness of God leads us to repentance. And many of us, I mean, maybe even if you look back over your own story, you will see that, you know, it has been the tough times that have made you cry out to God. Sometimes because of our stubbornness and independence, we don't turn to God until we have to. But it's God's love and God's answer in the midst of our difficulty that turns our heart and that connects us with him. He is a good father. And I love what David said. He said, I would have despaired unless I had believed to see the goodness of God in the land of the living. And part of the message that we carry is that God is a good God. And we live in a world that needs to hear that, because suicide, depression, heartache, all those things, they're weighing heavy on a lot of people. They need to know that there is a Papa God who loves them and who wants to bring them into relationship, and he's going to draw them with loving kindness. In fact, if you look at this word loving kindness, it's actually the word hesed. And it's a very, very powerful word in the Old Testament. And to really understand the Old Testament, you have to understand this word hesed. It's a word that is used to describe God and his relationship with man. And some other translations for this is steadfast love. So when it talks about the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases, it's this word hesed, or loving kindness. It's grace, it's mercy, faithfulness, goodness. It kind of combines the whole idea of covenant-based love, but something that goes beyond the requirements of law. So marriage sometimes is used to depict it, but it's a word that is so full in its meaning that it has the whole idea of kindness, steadfastness, enduring, strength. So it's not just love, it's this enduring, strong, steadfast love. And that's what Papa God has towards us. If you like, it's like the heart of kindness, the strength of love, and the beauty of mercy all combined into this wonderful thing that's called hesed. That's the loving kindness that Papa draws us to himself with, and that's the love that Jesus came to reveal to us. Let me finish with Galatians 4:6. says, "And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father." Maybe you didn't have a good relationship with your dad. Maybe he wasn't even there for you. But we have the Spirit of Jesus on the inside, and Jesus knows how to live as a son in perfect relationship with the Father. And that Spirit of Jesus within us helps us to cry out to God, this Almighty God, the Creator of everything. It's that Spirit of Jesus within us that enables us to call this holy, almighty, amazing God, Papa, Abba, Daddy, and have that closeness of relationship that Jesus died to provide us with. I believe Papa wants to touch hearts. I believe he wants to draw us to himself and to make himself known in a greater way. And I want to finish by just sharing some words of knowledge that I had. And if this speaks to you, you can respond in the chat. Probably is the easiest thing. And we'll pray for this at the end. The first thing that I felt was that there's a dad that's listening, maybe here now or maybe even later to the recording, and that you're full of regret. But the scripture that comes to mind where it says, "Judge nothing before the time," and it speaks of Jesus bringing to light the hidden intentions of the heart. And I felt like the Lord wanted to encourage somebody here this morning, and maybe this applies to a mother as well as a father, that God does not just judge actions, he judges intent. And though your actions may not have been everything that they needed to be, the intent of your heart was good. And God wants you to know that he sees that intent and he judges according to that intent. So that was the first one. Second one I had was broken promises. And I felt it related to a father who made promises, said he'd be there, said he'd do things, but he never followed through. And there is this feeling of, you know, well, if somebody says something, yeah, so what? It's not really going to happen. And I felt like the Lord wanted you to know that he's not bound by his issues. He hasn't got anything to work through. He's whole. And when he says something, he means it. And that God will follow through on his word. His word is his bond. And you can trust what he has said and what he has promised. Even though man has failed, God will not fail. Excuse me. The third, let me just take a bit of water here. Excuse me. The third thing was I saw a field being ploughed. So this green grass looked good. And I saw it being ploughed under. And when a plough goes through a field, it turns up the dirt and it doesn't look nearly as nice as just a plain green paddock of grass. And I felt like there was at least somebody here listening. Your attitude is, I don't go there. I don't talk about that. And it's like you've closed the door on father issues. You've closed the door on some of the wounding that's happened in your heart. And what you've got is you've got a green field, looks good. but it's not fruitful. And it takes ploughing a field to bring forth fruitfulness. And I believe it's an encouragement to some people here to go there, to deal with the issues, to let them come to the surface, to allow God to plough and to bring up some of those things that you've been struggling with. Because as those things are ploughed through and dealt with, you then move beyond the time of ploughing to actually breaking up all those areas and preparing the soil for seed and for harvest. And God wants to bring amazing fruitfulness out of those areas that you've just let sit dormant because you don't want to go there. Papa's encouraging you, let's go there. Let's deal with some of those things because I want to bring fruitfulness into your life. So it's an invite I believe he wants you to answer, but only you can answer. So I'm going to stop recording and